Good morning. This is Chris with the Two Nerds Podcast, brought to you by Vorpal Gaming. And you can find me on Stashbox and Castbox and all those other fancy places. Spotify is the big one. Spotify is the real big one. So you can check me out on Spotify and obviously also on Anchor. Outside of that, we're going to get right into it today because we're just going to be doing a tournament recap. I had a tournament over the weekend. It was a really weird one for me. My goal was to have a two-day event with up to 30 registrants. Unfortunately, that's not how it went. My attendance was all over the place, guys. It was wild. I went from, I think I peaked at 27, 28 was the peak. I dipped down to 14, jumped back up to like 20, 22, and then dropped down to 16 as the final number. So I obviously didn't make it a two-day event. I let the community vote on it. It was pretty cool, though, because a lot of my regular tournament players that I would see consistently weren't able to come. The Rising Tide guys, a lot of them went out to Vegas for a big team tournament, and I already talked about that and congratulated them. Did a hell of a job. Brian did come out. One of the other guys in the group was going to Jimmy, but he got really sick. So unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it. And then there's a group of dudes that come out from like South Bend, Michigan, and only a handful of those guys came out. Joe, it was always a pleasure to see him. He's a pretty good guy and is an enjoyable human to roll some dice with. And then Sean from South Bend also came out. He's been out to most of my events since his first one. I don't remember which one. I think a doubles event was his first one. He's been pretty consistently out to my events. Also a really, really fun dude. Pretty loud and aggressive, which is hilarious. Like he's a military vet also. I believe he's still in, through the reserves or the guard. And it's funny to me because I can pick him out because he's got that NCO voice. And so it just is a good time for me. Got some of our regular, I say regular, there's a group of dudes that come up from Indy, and man, are they just also really good humans. You know, Ryan comes up from Indy, really, really just friendly guy, good dude. Ben was another one, really super friendly dude. Mike, awesome dude. We're going to talk about an interaction I had with him, you know, but what was really interesting was I had a lot of new faces, you know, guys that had never come to my store before, never been to a tournament in my store. So this was their first time coming, and it was really cool. It's the first time I've had that many new faces at a tournament, you know. So we had a guy named Adam come up, Nathan, and Anthony, you know, so... If I'm missing somebody, I apologize. Jared was the other one. Jared's super, super nice dude. Also, all of them were really friendly. I had a great experience with everybody, and it was really positive. It was really positive. I was able to get some good critical feedback about like my terrain and table setups and stuff like that. You know, so it was a very enjoyable experience for me. I didn't get to play, and that's always bittersweet because I get to get some things done. Like I started painting on some commandos. But the whole time I'm just like, man, I wish I was rolling dice and bashing butts. Like that's way more enjoyable. But let's talk about, let's talk about Luke. Luke came out. This was his first time at my tournament, but he is not new to me. He and I have been playing some games pretty consistently for about 4 to 6 weeks as he was prepping for tournaments. And we kind of were talking strategy and stuff like that. So, you know, Luke came out and we worked on that stuff, and then he came out and he actually ended up winning the tournament with his custodes. So let's talk about that. So first place was Luke, first time coming to one of my events, and he won it. So congratulations to Luke. You know what I'm, good dude. I like him. He's got kind of a bad reputation from when he used to play. I'm just being honest. And, you know, it's one of those where my experience with him has been pretty positive. So I'm glad that whatever happened for him to kind of change or shake off that reputation has happened, because he's been an enjoyable human to be around for me. And, you know, it's just, I always enjoy when people are self-aware enough that they can make themselves better humans. Those are the type of people I want to be around, because they make me more self-aware and they make me a better human. So that's a really good thing to have in your life, you know. And second place was Adam. This was his first time out at my event. Also just a super nice dude, very, very well spoken. Really interesting list. One I hadn't seen before. Trying to pull it up, but there we go. And I'm not going to go through it line by line, but it was a chaos list. It was Iron Warriors, and it was two Lord of Skulls, some Decimators, which I don't really know much about Decimators, with the Soul Burner Petard. I don't know what they are. I've never encountered them. I'm ignorant of what they do. And then some Blitties or Obliterators. He did really well. He came in second. So he and Luke went undefeated. Ryan also, he came in third. Brought his Blood Angels. He dropped round one. I don't remember who he played round one off the top of my head. But like I said, super good dude. Really enjoy having him in the store. He's always nice. He's always polite. Really easy to get along with. Fourth was a new guy named Nathan Francis. And Drukhari. He brought Drukhari. My experience with him was pretty good. He seemed a little quieter. Not that he's a bad dude. Just I'm a loud human being and I'm talkative. So, like, when people aren't loud and talkative, it's just weird to me. and he's probably just like, man, this motherfucker's so loud, he needs to shut up. But no, it was a good time. You know, he was a good dude. I had a good experience with that. He played as Drukhari. And then Joe came in fifth. He dropped his last game to Luke. And so, like, his points are what dropped him in. He was win-win lost. And he brought a variation on his Iron Hands list. And my understanding is he wasn't super thrilled with how it interacted. It's not how he normally plays them. And he in no way was like, oh, I only lost because I didn't play the right list. He wasn't, I'm not making excuses. He's not making excuses. It was just more of a trying some new things and wasn't super thrilled with how it panned out. And sometimes it just be like that. And then another new dude, Anthony Lineberry, brought Drukhari. Mike, let's talk about my experience with Mike. I have never had a bad experience with this dude. Mike Neese has always just been a truly gracious and polite and amazing human being every time he's been in my store. Had a rules question. I'm not going to dig into what the rules question was. But the bottom line was he asked for a ruling and he was like, whatever you rule, I'm going to accept it. You know, just let me know what you rule. And I told him the rule, like my interpretation of the rule. And he said, I'm going to accept it, but I just want you to know when this came up at a Games Workshop event, an official Games Workshop event, this is how they ruled it. I'm in no way trying to tell you you're right or wrong. I'm just letting you know this is how it was ruled, and I'm going to move on. And I said, well, let me verify. I can be wrong sometimes. Give me 2 minutes to verify, and as long as you're both okay with it, once I verify, we'll reverse anything that you might have done because of it, or we'll just put the game on pause. Both he and his opponent were, yeah, that sounds good. So I went and verified it, and he was right, and I came up to him. I was like, hey, you are absolutely correct. I misread and misinterpreted the rules. So we're going to go ahead and reverse that call right now, and we're going to fix what was done because of my initial ruling, and we'll move on with the game. And he was like, oh, no, I'm not trying to say you're wrong or right or anything. I just wanted you to be aware. And I said, no, dude, I can be wrong. I have no issues with being wrong. And that's really important, because there are, and not just in Blood Bowl, I mean also Blood Bowl, not just in Warhammer, but in life, there are just people who feel like they can't ever be wrong. But one of the things I take very seriously, and it, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I should, but I take the role of tournament organizer pretty seriously. So if I'm wrong, I have no problems coming back to that person. And it happened again at an earlier event with another guy named Kevin, who is also just really chill and super laid back about it. And he pulled me to the side later and we had a conversation about it. And that was that. TOs can be wrong, guys. And Mike and Kevin also are the exact way to handle it. You don't get combative. You don't tell them they're right or wrong. You know, and you can tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. But there are people out there that can't hear that. You know, as soon as you're like, you're wrong, they immediately get defensive and they immediately get, you know, combative. And that's that. I'm not putting them down. That's just the way some people react. You know, and so it's a good way to understand how to communicate with people, you know. So the way to handle that situation is exactly as Mike did. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm saying this is how it was ruled at another event. I'm going to accept your ruling. I just want you to be aware. And we'll move on with the game. Okay, cool. Yeah. You know, because now that I know that I was wrong, I can go back, I can verify it, and then if it comes up again, I don't have to keep being wrong. You know, we all read and interpret rules differently, and that's just the way it is. So it's like, oh, it's okay. Tell me I'm wrong. Let me get better. You know, and I really enjoyed having that conversation and that experience with him. I went out of my way to thank him. And I told him, I said, you know, when I'm wrong, I make it a point to come back to those people that I was wrong about or wrong to and tell them, hey, look, I was wrong. I verified it. I apologize. Here's what it is. You were right or you were wrong. Doesn't matter. Like maybe both of us were wrong. But just so we both know, here's what the rule is. Here's how it interacts. My bad. I'm sorry. You know, so it's a really important thing to me. And a lot of that, I think, and Bailey hit the nose on the head. I think a lot of it stems from Bailey's and my interactions today. And for those that don't know, Bailey does Dankless Wargaming. He's got a podcast on YouTube with a homeboy named Heath, whom I actually just met for the first time not that long ago. I'm trying to remember the name of the podcast. Give me 1 second. It's like something of war. I need to switch my channel. Give me 1 second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to go to an ad, and then I'm going to look up that channel, and we'll pick back up with that. Give me 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. Welcome back. Like we were talking about, Bailey, his channel is Dankless Wargaming. The podcast he does is called Path to Redemption. It's with a guy named Heath. Seems like a good dude. But yeah. So I think he hit it on the head, though, is that Bailey and I have had so many rules discussions and rules arguments and stuff like that, that we just understand that it doesn't matter. We can be wrong, you know? So it was a super, super great experience with Mike. And again, like that is exactly how you handle it. If you're going to a tournament, not get defensive, not get combative. And again, he could have got defensive and it's fine. I try to be an adult most of the time. I can be just a little ass and a shithead, but generally speaking, I try to be an adult. So if somebody gets defensive at me, I can usually handle it. Bailey actually came in 8th at 2-1 with his Dark Angels. So Bailey, interesting. His first game was against Joe. His next two games were against one of our regulars, a buddy of mine named Jim, and then my part-time employee, Tyler. And I don't think, or no. It was Kyle, then Tyler. I think was the order it went in, or maybe it was Tyler, then Kyle. I don't know. Something like that. Maybe he didn't play. It was Kyle, then Jim. That's the order it went in. There we go. Interesting. Like, he had a really wild setup for his army. He was trying to do a little bit of everything, and I think it could have worked. And I talked to him about it. And like, I don't know his army as well as he does, so I could be wrong. But I told him from an outsider's perspective, I think it's not that he's trying to do too much. I think he's just trying to do too much too soon. You know, one of his secondaries was scoring points for killing things with Ravenwing. But like, dude, you don't have to try to max it out turn one. You can wait till turn two or turn three. Like, you need to calm down. You know, but... And I could be... Like I said, I could be wrong. I don't know his army as well as he does. It just... From a onlooker's perspective, that's what it seemed like was holding him back, was that he tried to rush up the board too much and do too much too soon. You know, and again, I'm not going to go through everybody's list line by line or anything like that. I just want to kind of give an overview of my experience with some of these people. Sean Ninth, Ben, super nice dude. He and Ryan stayed after and we kind of talked, and I was, you know, they were just like, we were all just kind of BSing and stuff. And they're just good dudes, man. Like Ben a lot, like Ryan a lot. They are the buddies of the dude that brought the Chaos Knights list when we did the ATC tournament. And like, we were talking about that because he was like, man, Brandon still talks about that. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, part of it was just dice rolls. I said, I hit turn three and my dice just like caught fire. And they were like, yeah, that's what he said. And I was like, yeah, no. And he was a super, super good dude about it. Like, I could see some dudes getting a little salty because of hot dice, you know. But it was arguably 60% hot dice, 50% hot dice. And just the way it be sometimes. But no, those were great dudes. Jared, super nice guy also. Had a good experience with him. I was joking around, said he brought his own hype man. There was one of his buddies came with, didn't play. And it's fine. I wasn't like trying to be rude or mean or put him down. It was just more like, and it's not the first time it happened. Actually, the first time Joe came into the store, he didn't play either. Joe just watched and then wanted to see what things were like and how they were run. Interestingly enough, though, like the guy that came with Jared didn't really interact with people, whereas Joe did. Like Joe and Bailey and I had like a pretty intense discussion over rules and how they interact and stuff like that. So it is just super interesting. Don't have anything against either of them. Like the guy, my few interactions with him weren't necessarily negative. They weren't positive. They were just interactions. My interactions with Jared, super positive, really friendly, really well-spoken, really polite. It was kind of funny. Like one of our earliest conversations was the guy, I want to say it was the guy that he came with. We were all talking about, and I had said something about being an orc player, and his buddy was just like, oh, orcs are really good right now. And I just laughed in his face, and I didn't mean to. I just like, no, they're not, dude. And I was like, look, there's strong stuff in it. I said, and I'm not going to argue with people about it. Like, I know what I know from playing the army for as long as I have. There's strong stuff in it. And Jared was like, they're the same as they always were. And I was like, yes. He's like, it just feels like a side grade. There's good stuff. There's bad stuff. Some weird things got nerfed. And, you know, yep, that was it. And he hit the nail on the head. Outside of that, you know, like anytime there was a rules question or anything, he was really polite, really nice. Never had any issues. Friendly dude. Enjoyed talking with him. Look forward to having him back in the store again. Alex, obviously, our regular, normally plays Tau. He went 1-2, but he did good. And that's the point. You know, yeah, he didn't win games. Like, he won one game instead of two or three. But the thing for him to take from this isn't whether or not he won or lost. He played top-tier meta armies. Like, he played a Drukhari player who was pretty good Drukhari player and had a pretty meta list and lost to him. Like, that's going to happen, man, whether you wanted to or not. And the other thing is the last game he played Thousand Suns, and Thousand Suns, like, we have a buddy, Matt, who just recently moved to Texas. Thousand Suns, because Alex is playing Grey Knights at tournaments right now. Grey Knights versus Thousand Suns goes like this. Whose psychic phase ends up being better? That's what I've seen. You know, if Grey Knights are able to deny and keep those buffs and stuff from going off, it's a one-sided game. If not, they struggle. And that's okay. You know, it's they counter each other, you know. Tyler, big cash money Tyler. Two losses and a win. Jim Button, loss. Brian, triple L's, but Brian was out just supporting the store and having fun. He brought his towel out. Man, it was so awesome to see. As always, his army is gorgeous. And he is just a joy to have in the store. He's one of those dudes where you can hear him yelling and laughing and shouting and having a good time. You know, and I would say 98% of the time for him, it's less about winning or losing and more about just rolling dice and seeing what's going on. And it's infectious, man. It's hard to, even if he's beating you, it's hard to be mad. You know, it's just, he's just a fun, good human, and he's just a joy to be around. And he is a superb painter, so looking at his armies on the table is always nice. He has a really, really crisp, clean, white-green color scheme for his Tau, and it is just absolutely gorgeous. So, Brian, you know, big shout-out. Love having you in here also, man. Kyle came in last, but Kyle's a clown, man. That dude cracks me up. I love that man. He's just a good dude. Because he brought just the silliest list, and there were games where he just was like, I'm not scoring points, I'm just shooting models off the board. Because I think he brought 12 Castellans, and don't get me wrong, like, they fucked everything, every game. But the issue he ran into is that he just couldn't hold objectives. You know, his first game was against Drukhari, and he never left his deployment zone. And I happened to be walking by, and I was like, oh man, this looks familiar. He's like, yeah, it's a lot like that time you charged me with Berserkers turn one. You know, and that's like, he was playing Dark Angels, and that's exactly what I did, was I was able to get some charges off turn one. I got tabled, but I beat the brakes off him in terms of points just because he never left his deployment zone. Like, I just kept sending wave after wave into these stupid Terminators. But no, so that's kind of how the tournament shook out. It was a good time. I had a blast. It was awesome to see so many new people. You know, so it was really, really interesting. Now that we've kind of covered the tournament, there's some interesting rules interactions that took on that came up that we needed to discuss. And it's really neat because there's some rules that I didn't know about. And arguably a lot of people don't seem to know about. Because, like, I know dudes that would, for example, bring Magnus out of reserves, warp time him. You can't do that. If it comes out of reserves or deep strike, if it comes on the board in the reinforcement step, they're not allowed to move again for the rest of the turn for any reason. That is explicitly what it states in the rule book. Because Jimmy tried to do a deep strike Scions move to snatch an objective from Bailey, and arguably would have been like a slick maneuver. The issue is that he couldn't, because you're not allowed to move for any reason if you come in from deep strike and reserves. And I wasn't aware of that, because, like, it's not a rule that I interact with a lot. And when other people have done it, it just seems legit. Like, yeah, that seems reasonable. You come out of reserves, you cast warp time, you get to move, you do your thing. So we ended up looking it up because he thought it was an FAQ, and there were no FAQs. And I was like, okay, well, let me see your core book. And it's just baked into the core rules. So that's good to know. Like, you can't warp time out of deep strike. And maybe other people know this, and I don't, just because I don't interact with it that much. Like I said, I've not really had to, like, look it up. So that was a good one. Obviously, the situation with Mike, and that just had to do with objective controlling, and that wasn't a big one. That was just me not reading well when I read the rule. So that wasn't a huge one. Another rules interaction came up that I did know, and that was weird. again, and I'm not putting anybody down, but it was kind of weird because like Tyler and Jared were playing a game, and there was a human nearby, and I'm not gonna name what human it was. I'm gonna leave him anonymous. But it was Jared brought a drop pod out of Deep Strike. And then his units disembarked, and Tyler wanted to auspex. And they wanted to know if he could auspex the unit or if he had to auspex the drop pod. And so, like, they presented it to me, and before I could say anything, this third party was immediately like, they can only shoot the drop pod. And I hadn't even had a chance to respond to them. So, like, they called the TO over to rule on something, and this guy is just interrupting the conversation between the players and the TO. And I politely said, I'm 99.9% sure that is the case. I just want to look the drop pod rule up very fast to verify. And so let me pull it up in the app, and I'll let you know in 30 seconds. And dude was like, and then, you know, and I looked at it, and it is the case. And I thought it was because the drop pods, what comes out of Deep Strike, they're just allowed to disembark as soon as it comes out of Deep Strike because of the way the drop pod interacts with the game. So it's like the drop pod comes in. It's the only thing that comes in from reinforcements. Auspex scan has to target the drop pod. Then the troops get out. And that's how the rules interact. Now, arguably, shooting the drop pod could be good because if you kill the drop pod, it could explode, and that could be detrimental wherever it is. B, they now have to disembark from a destroyed transport, so you're losing guys on a roll of a one. So if you have something that can shoot, like if you've got some eradicators, for example, auspex scan that drop pod, dude. See if you can plink it off the board. Fuck that thing. Because you could force them to lose more models just from bad dice rolling. But yeah. So I was like, yeah, that is 100% the case. You know, I just wanted to double check. I didn't want to give you information that could have been wrong. Yeah, perfect, perfect, perfect. And then this third party was like, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to trust me. And I was like, dude, like in my brain, I'm thinking, are you fucking kidding me, you fucking clown? This is my event. Like, they didn't ask you for a ruling. And I told him, hey, man, it's not about trust. Like, trying to be polite, like, this isn't about trust. This is my event. I'm not going to just take anybody's word for anything. If I'm not sure about something, I'm going to look it up and verify it. If there's any kind of doubt, if I can't 100% look at you and say, this is the rule, I'm going to verify it in a book. You know, it's not about trust. It's not about this. It's not about that. I don't fucking care who you are. You know, you could be fucking James Workshop himself telling me, and I'm going to be like, hey, dog, you're a fucking models company, not a rules company. I'm going to go ahead and look that up. You know, so it was just really weird to have somebody get like kind of snippy with me over trying to take the extra 2 seconds to make sure I give somebody the right information, especially when that dude was a third party, not even involved in the rules or game that was being questioned. Like, bro, go back to whatever the fuck you're doing and stay out of it. But that was super, like I said, super odd. And that's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily enjoy having spectators, because they tend to like get too involved, get too handsy, think that they have some kind of special entitlement to having their opinion voiced. Like, yo dog, I don't care. Like, this isn't your event. You run your own events. You know that much, run your own events. Not to say that I'm right all the time. I just got done talking about how I can be wrong. But, like, if nobody's talking to you, man, fucking beat feet. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. Outside of that, like I said, it was awesome, amazing experience. Had a lot of fun. A lot of these guys are looking forward to the doubles tournament in December. I'm going to be setting my date for that here in the next couple days. I've got my November ATC. It sounds like we're going to be crashing at Bailey's family's house. It's going to be a good time. We're going to get his grandma super drunk, and we're going to party with his grandma. It's going to be awesome. Not really. I did end up, so I typically go on like a 60-day sobriety, October, November. And I did have a couple drinks over the weekend. Mostly because, like, man, tournaments, like, they stress me out. They give me a lot of just like jitters and stuff right beforehand because I'm always like, what if I fuck up? What if I fail? What if I do this? What if I do that? And again, like I said, I take being a TO pretty seriously, so I'm really conscious about making sure everything is the way it is, and even Sherry was just like, of all the things in your life, like this is the thing that you're like a friggin' maniac about. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. But I'm back on the sobriety train again, just because it feels good, and arguably I shouldn't drink at all. I think I have some sort of allergy, so that's also a case for just not drinking. But no, I just wanted to give a big thank you to everybody that came out. Congratulations, Luke. Congratulations, Adam. Congratulations, Ryan. Also, Bailey won Best Sportsman. Adam also won Best Painted, but he didn't want to get two prizes, and so asked if he could give the Best Painted to the second place Best Painted. So congratulations, Nathan, on Best Painted. Both armies were gorgeous, absolutely stunning. And I arguably should have taken pictures of them, but I am, that's a area of opportunity for me. I could get better at is just my social media presence for the store, for this, for that. So outside of that, I'm gonna call it. Thanks for listening. As always, Teespring store, super dope merch. Working on getting my custom dice. I'm gonna have that probably finished up this week, at least the first set. Next week we'll talk about prepping for the November ATC. Thanks for listening, guys.